Hello, everyone, and welcome in once again to Talking Puck TV. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes here with you, and we all ready to go. I already see we got a lot of folks on board because Mike and I, it's our playoff preview show, and Mike, holy cow, things really came down, didn't they, to this final couple of days of the regular season? Not so much for who was in and out, really, but just for the seedings and how that was all going to play out, and it was actually a lot of fun this week. I didn't think we'd have this much drama, but I'm glad we did.
A lot of fun for everywhere except for Vegas.
Yes.
That may be the most unfun city in America right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We've got a lot to talk about regarding Vegas. And you know what? I hear people. I can hear it right now, Tom. Is that people in Buffalo just clapping?
Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing right now. And laughing.
Oh,
people
my.
In Buffalo laughing right now.
Oh, goodness. For
a city and hockey fans that did not make the playoffs, they are some of the happiest hockey fans right now. Anyway, let's talk about who's in. I think that's the most exciting part. It certainly came down to the wire in terms of where once Vegas was out, still had to be decided who the two wild cards and the positioning for Nashville and Dallas. We knew over in the East, we knew the eight that were going to be in, but it was a little bit last minute, and we got some classic matchups that we can talk about too. So there wasn't too much mystery. Was Minnesota or St. Louis going to finish second? You know, in the Central, L.A. Give them some credit. They held on.
They did.
They held on. I thought maybe they weren't going to be able to do it, but they held on for that third spot. Here we go. Before we talk about who's in, besides Vegas, which I think is the most disappointing, who is second most disappointing team this year? I have an answer, but that I like to give you. But who do you think besides Vegas is the most disappointing team this year at not making the playoffs?
Can I have a 1A and a 1B for this?
Sure.
For completely different reasons. So let's start with my 1A is the New York Islanders. I feel like
yes,
the Islanders, but not their fault, I will say, for the Islanders. And it's heartbreaking when you look at what happened with Barry Trotz and the Islanders and everything and the way it kind of broke down. They had COVID issues. They had injury issues. They had scheduling issues. They didn't play a home game, Mike, almost the first 2 months of the season because they were waiting on their building. It was a very difficult year for the Islanders. And it'll be interesting to see if Lou Lamoriello, as he works into his offseason, looks at that and says, we probably should have done better, but I understand why we didn't, or we should have done better, no excuses. It could go either way, but so that's my 1A. But let me get to my 1B, and I think this is an important one because it goes all the way back to how they started the year, the Seattle Kraken. The Kraken really missed the boat, I think. Now, look, they have their own plan, and I was not in the room planning this plan. So let's just, take this as Tom's opinion and Tom's opinion only. But, Mike, we did our mock drafts. Everybody did their mock drafts, obviously. But we looked at this Kraken team and said, you know what? They're not going to do a Vegas and make a run to the Cup the first year. But they, I thought, left plenty of meat on the bone in that expansion draft. And then it showed. In the way they played this year, and they also made the big mistake of signing Philip Grubauer to that giant contract based off 1 year in Colorado with an incredible puck possession team in front of him that made him look incredible. Guess who finished last in almost every goaltending metric this year? Philip Grubauer. So those are two big mistakes, I think, for the Seattle Kraken, and I'm not going to overlook that. They finished near the bottom of the pack. Montreal has the best draft odds for May 10th, which, by the way, is going to be when we see what happens with the ping pong balls and who gets to pick number one. That's a big one to me, Mike. So go ahead and give me what you've got. And if you want to go 1A, 1B, feel free.
Yeah. Oh, no, I Islanders for sure. They're very disappointing this year to me. But by not just unloading guys at the trade deadline, it makes you feel that the organization is saying this is just that kind of a year. We'll be back next year with the same core guys. We've got the goaltender back. We'll give it another shot. I don't think there's going to be a lot of changes If they felt that way, I think we would have seen more at the trade deadline. I'm trying to unload some guys. But I'll just say something real brief about the Kraken. That, to me, is also a team, and I don't know whether I have a brother who lives in Seattle, and I asked him about this, and he felt the same way I do. There's no identity to that team. There's no... When you think of Seattle, Tom, what do you think? I don't think of anything with that team. I don't go, boy, that's an up and coming team. That's a fast skating team. They just need a goalie, or that's good defensive. They just need to get some scoring. I don't know what they are. It's a nothing vibe to me when I think of that team.
I could see that.
It's
hard to disagree with you, Mike, because again, you know what. What is the vibe? What are we talking about here? Who are we talking about here? They traded their captain, who, and I understand why you need to get assets for guys, but you know, who's the face of that franchise? Right. I think it's Jordan Eberle, but I'm not sure. And I probably watched.
That's not how you build a franchise. Right. Like Jordan Eberle.
Right. Who do they have? Like Vegas. Look, Vegas lucked into Marc-Andre Fleury. They absolutely, because you could not have picked a more vibrant personality to be the face of your team from year one to year five. And, well, year four, technically. Mm-hmm. But Fleury was a godsend to Vegas because it really worked out for them. Now, they've gone on to ruin all sorts of things. And already Red Barchetta in the chat is talking about there's plenty of reasons to laugh at Vegas, and it has nothing to do with the Eichel trade. There's a lot, and he's talking about, you know, the Lightning and their cap gerrymandering, if you will, which is a great term, and I'm glad he brought it up, but the Lightning are able to do it. Vegas tried to, but couldn't even get into the playoffs, and at the end, I'm pretty sure some of those injuries were not long-term IR injuries, but were long-term cash injuries. So, hey, what are you going to do? I mean, they're trying to twist it so that they can get guys in and out of the lineup, and that didn't even help. They lost games they needed to win down the stretch and sank their own boat.
They couldn't score.
No.
When you can't score, when you lose a jersey and then you can't score in those shootouts, you don't deserve to go. That's it.
First of all, I want to welcome everybody in who is watching right now and remind everybody that we do take your questions in the chat. Thanks for being here. But if you want to subscribe, if you follow along, we definitely do take your questions. We love having you here. We appreciate you being here. So whether you're on YouTube, you're on Twitch, Facebook, I know folks watch on Twitter as well. Go ahead and click that follow button. And then if you click the bell, that tells you when we go live. But we are live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. And so Mike and I doing our playoff preview show here tonight and talking a little bit about Vegas before we get to the matchups and Seattle. Mike, was Seattle disappointing to you this year? I'm just curious to get your opinion on that because obviously they were to me.
Yeah, like I said, disappointing in several areas. They weren't a good team and they had no personality. I just felt like it was, I had no draw to watch them if they were on television. At the beginning of the season, you just kind of want to say, oh, let me just see the uniforms. Let me see a couple of new guys. Sure. And then, you know, 20 games in the year, I'm like, ugh, I have no desire to watch this team. There's nothing, there's nothing there. You know, and maybe they've got the big secret plan they're building towards, and then they know what they're doing. But as of right now, when you come into a city that's really anxious for hockey, has been waiting a long time for this to happen, and then you just have a blah team, I that's not how you want to start. Especially the problem is that you automatically are going to be compared to what Vegas did at the start of their their franchise, because the NHL, starting with Vegas, really tried to help expansion teams be better than in the old days when you knew it was going to be a 7-year project before you were able to get anything going. But they've tilted it, and so just like Vegas, they gave Seattle an opportunity, and that just became a real nothing team.
Yeah, Mike, this is an interesting comment from the chat. I'll get your opinion on this one too. Is Red Barchetta said, Seattle wants to be completely inclusive for everyone, so they don't have an identity because they're trying to make everyone happy. Do you think that's true? Or at least there's an inkling of the truth there? It's like when you're trying to please everybody, you please nobody, I guess, essentially.
Right, right. I think you have to decide as a GM, what kind of team am I going to be? What am I going for here? Are we going to draft and be a run and gun and just be offensive minded and let's go? Are we going to build? Or do you think it takes a while to get those offensive players? Those are tough guys to get a hold of. Let's really build a solid, solid defensive team. That's easier to put together, and the goals will come eventually. But it's sort of like, what are you? And as you said, Grubauer was a big disappointment. And if you have an expansion team without a good goaltender, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
And you brought up Fleury, and I'm sure we've got such great hockey fans watching and stuff. But I found this really interesting. He is currently, I believe it's 16 years in a row, longest streak in the NHL of any player making the playoffs consecutively.
Is it amazing? You want to talk
16 years?
You talked about Sabres fans laughing, and not that Marc-Andre Fleury is going to publicly laugh. Maybe Alan Walsh will, but it was Fleury's agent, by the way. But man, how about Fleury gets traded, kind of run out of Vegas on a rail, I will say. And look, I'm going to save my Pete DeBoer takes for our podcast during the week because I have plenty to say about Vegas, but I want to talk playoffs tonight. So just to quickly get through it. He goes from there to Chicago. Chicago does the honorable thing, sends him to where he wants to go. He ends up in Minnesota. Minnesota looks like they have a great chance to catch fire, go on a run here. One of the best teams down the stretch, by the way, winning nine of their last 11 heading into the playoffs, and a tough matchup coming up with the St. Louis Blues, and we can kind of segue into it with that. Mike, out of all these first-round series, if we start in the West, you've got Avs, Preds, Wild Blues, Flames, Stars, and then Oilers, Kings, which in a Gretzky era would have held much interest. But for me, I think the one that I'm most interested in is Blues Wild, because if whoever comes out of that might be missing some limbs.
Yeah, that is minimum a six-game series. You could not possibly be surprised if that goes seven. Now, St. Louis still got a decision to make on their goaltender.
Yeah.
Do you want to go with Binnington or not? You know what? Minnesota, to a degree, has got a decision there, too. I mean, Talbot's played really well. Do you go, well, we brought this guy in. Do we hand him the net, Fleury? Or do we, it's a nice problem to have in a sense, I guess. If something goes wrong, you've got a good backup. But I think both teams have got a little decision. If we're starting with this, I've got questions for you, and here's number one. Who are the starting goaltenders for each respective team, Tom?
Yeah, so I did, and Mike and I were going to ask each other three burning questions tonight, and of course mine kind of went around goaltending as well, but so let's go ahead. That can be both of our number ones, because out of all these, Colorado has a starter, Nashville has a starter who's injured in UC Soros, and without Soros, I don't know if they can win. We'll talk about that.
They won't win a game.
Minnesota and St. Louis could go either way. Calgary has a starter. Dallas, honestly, I think it's Jake Oettinger, but that's up for debate. The Oilers, who knows? The Kings, who knows? And Florida, I think we know Bob. They want Bob to start. Capitals, who knows? Toronto, Campbell, Vasilevsky for Tampa. Carolina, question mark, because Freddie Anderson's not playing injury, one. So, it sounds like they're getting Ronta back. Boston, Boston's kind of gone back and forth down the stretch. I think the Rangers are pretty set. Now Tristan Jarry for the Penguins is going to miss at least the opening couple games of the series. So there's another question mark. Goaltending could sink some teams that don't deserve to sink in this first round, Mike, whether because of injuries or because of other factors.
I can't recall a start of playoffs ever, as far as I remember, with as many goaltending question marks and injuries to start the playoffs. I can't remember anything like this before. I mean, poor Nashville. That's just a devastating loss for them. If they had thought they had any chance at all, which they probably didn't anyway. But if they wanted to steal a game or two, I don't know why I never heard this. that Reddick's, his nickname is Big Save Dave. That's his nickname.
I did not know that about Riddick.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that either. What a great nickname. Is that a great nickname?
That is a great nickname.
Big Save Dave?
That's pretty good.
Come on.
That is pretty good.
Big Save Dave. That's a great nickname.
I like it. Yeah. that one's pretty funny.
Okay.
And Dan, by the way, who's in the comments, right? He said Dan says no save Dave. I know that Dan is a Predators fan, and he's said, you know, they kind of self-destructed towards the end of the season. And he points out Victor Arvidsson, by the way, in his seventh straight postseason after he got traded from Nashville. But you know what? That is the biggest loss for any out of every team that lost a goaltender or could potentially lose a goaltender. I think Pittsburgh maybe without Jari, that's the second closest. And Dan says the Preds broadcasters coined him Big Save Dave. But that's the closest because, believe it or not, I think Carolina is so good, even with Antti Raanta, who has shown he's capable for stretches. They'll be okay without Anderson for a little while. But, man, Saros, for me, Saros and Roman Josi were the split ballot MVPs for that Predators team this year. I think Josi was incredible, had a Norris Trophy caliber season, but man, Saros was so good for them for so long. Looked like they found the heir apparent to Pekarina, and now all of a sudden he's not there, and we don't know for how long.
Yeah, well, I thought I read 4 to 6 weeks. High ankle sprain. Those are tough injuries.
I had not seen that substantiated, so I didn't want to throw out a time frame. I heard that, but I didn't see anybody confirm. Okay. Maybe that's been confirmed.
I didn't
in the
call
last
the
day or two.
I just read it. Yeah. I didn't call the doctor down there.
And high ankle sprains are terrible. I don't know if you've ever had one. I've had one, and it is the worst. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. The doctor basically told me, and it was a hockey injury, he said, you would have been better off breaking your ankle. It would have healed quicker, and it would have healed better. But when you sprain it, the problem is a sprain can become a repetitive injury. And with a break, the break heals itself, and there you go. Your bone is healed. So, yeah, that's a tough one, high ankle sprain.
Yeah, so he's gonna have to be a lot of save Daves if they've got any chance. And so
against Colorado,
they're not. I don't think they're gonna win a game. Back to Minnesota, St. Louis. So who are your starting goaltenders?
Okay, so if I'm St. Louis,
you're the coach. You're the coach for each team, and you're got to make your goaltending decision. For game one.
Okay, here's what I do. So for St. Louis, I go with Ville Husso. And for Minnesota, I run a 2-1 platoon with Fleury and Talbot. So Fleury plays 1 and 2, Talbot plays 3. And unless they're down 0-2 and Fleury played well, then I play him in game 3. But if they're 1-1 or they're up 2-0, Talbot comes and plays game 3 for me because you have to manage Fleury's minutes. But Husso over Binnington in St. Louis.
Wow, that's an interesting call. You're looking at a guy who was just so huge to them winning the Stanley Cup just recently, but he's lost the net. He's lost the net as far as you're concerned.
And I'm not saying I have lost confidence in him. I just think Husso's played better. That's my call. How about you? What are you doing?
You know, I'm a veteran goalie guy. I'm with you. I want Fleury. I want to get off to a good start in that series. I think you've got to win. You got to win at least one of the first two games. And plus, you've got home ice advantage. I'm going with Fleury to start, but he's on a short. He's on a little bit of a short leash because you got to make sure you get a win in that of those first two home games. And I'm going with Binnington. I just think, he has proved himself in the playoffs. He's the veteran guy. I'm going to give him a chance. And after two games, if it's not working, then you got to make your change there. That's just me. I'm always liking the veteran guy who's got playoff experience to start it for me.
Nice. And then just to kind of wrap up this series, because we really do want to try to get to all eight here, by the way. I'm going to quickly give my X factors for the series for each team. For Minnesota, they're pretty obvious, I think. But Minnesota, Kevin Fiala, he's got to come to play. He's got to be a big, important part of this series run for them. So Kevin Fiala is my X factor for the Wild in that series. And then Ryan O'Reilly for the Blues. He's a little older. He's not the O'Reilly he was a couple of years ago when they won the Cup, but he still can be an impactful player, needs to be, in my opinion, an impactful player. Mm-hmm. I know you're a big Tarasenko fan, Mike, and I have a feeling like you might
and
go
he's
that
coming
way,
on.
Yeah, he is. He is. But I just think O'Reilly is the nexus of the network. Everything goes through O'Reilly, and he has to be there for them to be on.
My keys for this series, you have a team, take Fleury out of the mix. You've got a lot of players from Minnesota. Hey, I think they won 9 out of 11 down the stretch. But as we all know, playoffs are a whole different animal. You're talking about inexperienced playoff players from Minnesota. How will they do against a lot of experienced playoff players in St. Louis? That's my X factors right there.
All right.
Inexperience against experience for playoffs.
We do have to talk about the Avs Pred series, but I mean, do either one of us, can you give the Preds more than a puncher's chance without UC Soros?
None. Zero. They won't win a game.
Oh, not a game. Sweep. Mike is saying sweep. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Riddick stands on his head in the series, they have.
Well, that's always the thing, though. Right?
But even that, Mike, him standing on his head.
That's asking a lot.
It is.
Nashville's, I don't know if that's enough.
Nashville's production has to be up where it was and beyond that, I think, because Colorado is one of the best scoring teams in the game. They have a ridiculous goal differential. Are they beatable? Sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, Minnesota beat them on the last night of the season. Yeah. But then again, Colorado's kind of coasting in, actually. They were a 500 hockey team down the stretch, but where was the urgency? They had everything sewn up in March.
That's always a danger, though, too, when you cruise at the end. Give me a team that's fighting for a playoff spot, which I think if Soros was there, you had a Nashville team that had to battle down the stretch to get in, make sure they got into the playoffs, right? But they don't have the goaltender. It would have been a perfect scenario because you would have had a team that had lifted off the accelerator. They didn't get the President's Trophy either. So they got off the accelerator. And it's hard sometimes to turn that right. I hate that term, but we got to flip a switch. Not that easy sometimes. Nashville, if they had their goaltender, had a chance to maybe strike and get a win or two in the early part of the series and then maybe have an opportunity. But they just don't, without the goaltender, they just don't have enough. That'll be a short series for sure.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know what, though? I said it before the start of the season. I like Minnesota. I think that's your second round matchup there. And that'll be fun to watch. That'll be a good second round. I think Minnesota squeaks by St. Louis.
Yes. Dan is saying that he thinks Preds win one or two and the wins will come at home because of the crowd. So, it'd be nice if they could pull a couple
off. Crowds don't score goals. I don't know. Crowds don't score goals.
Mike's got his pessimism
on. They don't score goals.
So, all right, let's scoot on down here. Calgary, Dallas, or Edmonton, LA, whichever series you want to pick first.
Let's go 2-3 first. Who's starting goal? I think it's going to be Mike Smith against Jonathan Quick. I think it's old-time goal.
Really?
Not as my selection. I think that's what we're going to see.
With a combined age of 472 between the starters? I mean,
that was my question to you, was going to be, can Jonathan Quick be the old Jonathan Quick in the playoffs? Is he capable of reaching back in time and being that guy again? If he is, they can beat Edmonton. Can Edmonton get more than just Dreisaitl and McDavid in the playoffs in order to get past LA?
Right. I think that, Mike, when we're talking about the difference in the goaltenders here, I think it's marginal with LA and Edmonton. Whether it is Smith or Koskinen, I think it'll be Smith. And I actually think it'll be Peterson getting the bulk of the starts for LA, but you never know. I mean,
really?
If Quick gets a game one start, looks amazing, he stays in. But Both of these goalies, I think, will have short leashes. And I will say the Oilers have learned to play defense down the stretch. They look like a much better hockey team down the stretch than they did earlier. So Edmonton kind of looks better with the coaching change. I think they can beat LA. The thing about LA is they're a team that just kind of comes at you in waves, you know? And now we know Dustin Brown's retiring. Does that give them an emotional lift for the series going in? No Drew Doughty, however, but you know what? They didn't get that much worse without Doughty, but in the playoffs, missing that guy is huge.
That's a lot of minutes. I mean, that's 30 minutes. That's a lot of ice time.
Yeah.
You have a steady guy out there for 30 minutes in the playoffs. That's a huge, against McDavid and Draisaitl. That's a huge loss. I think Edmonton's going to win that series.
Yeah. That's probably not a foregone conclusion. I think that's fairly on the ball. The other one that I'm really interested in here, believe it or not, Dallas, Calgary, and here's why. I like the Flames. Mm-hmm. I really like the Flames. I think they play great hockey.
Me too.
And especially with a Sutter coach team heading into the playoffs, a guy was speaking of the Kings and Stanley Cups. This is the coach that won those Stanley Cups with the LA Kings.
Right, right.
But Calgary doesn't have that history, whereas, believe it or not, Dallas, let's not forget, made a fairly deep run with essentially this same team not too long ago. Now, they've got a slightly younger goaltender in net, but could Dallas be poised to pull an upset?
They could. They could. Calgary, remember, three years ago, Calgary was number one in the West, lost in the first round. And can Goudreau continue to do what he did during the regular season in the playoffs? It seems like the ice gets smaller. There's not much. I don't know what it just feels different in the playoffs, doesn't it? There's less room. It's a little more physical. Can Goudreau's line do what they did during the regular season during the playoffs? That's asking a lot. You've got a goaltender in Markstrom who doesn't have a lot of playoff experience. And you know, how good is he going to be come playoff time in big moments? Because this is where you separate the wheat from the chaff. It's late in third periods when you have one goal leads or overtime games. That's when you really make your mark as a playoff goaltender, Tom. That's where you earn your stripes is when you've got to preserve a one goal lead late in third period. And here comes the other team who's desperate, or you go to overtime. And Markstrom hasn't been through that. There's a lot of goaltenders right now in the NHL haven't been through that, but that's a guy who's got a first place team that does not have tremendous playoff experience. So is that, what factor will that be? Now they got a winning coach. That goes a long way. And Pavelski's line, other than that line, who else is going to score for Dallas? I mean, they've been carrying that. Pavelski's been carrying that team.
Yeah, they.
So I think in the end, Calgary's just got too much. I think Dallas is certainly capable of winning two games. I think it may go six, but I think Calgary just has too much to lose in the first round.
Dan agrees with you. He says Calgary in six as well. I will tell you this, Mike. When I look at this, I'm looking at it from a standpoint of I'm excited because we could have a Battle of Alberta series. If Calgary takes care of business against Dallas. But here's the other thing. I don't think I'm overstating this. This is an important playoff series for Calgary because if they win and they win convincingly, if they really strangle Dallas out and they show they can take care of business, that is what will give the Flames the confidence to make a deep run, especially heading in against Edmonton.
Right.
That is important. If they squeak it out in seven, if they barely win it, or if Dallas dominates them in a couple of games, I don't know that Calgary dressing room has that confidence to go on a run, even if they win the series. So I think it's important for them to establish their play right away.
Yeah, boy, they had a good season, though, didn't they? They did. It's a strong team, top to bottom. They don't have a lot of holes on that team. And again, well coached. But playoffs can change. I like what you say though, Tommy. They're a little tenuous. I think if they play well early and start building some confidence, start rolling, I look out. I think Calgary could steamroll themselves into the third round for sure. So, but Dallas, you know, they've got some smart players who've been through the playoffs before. They're not going to be a rollover. That's a tougher matchup for a first place team. than Nashville is now without Soros against the first place team. I think that's a tougher one. So anyway, well, that's how it looks. I think in the West. So to me, first round, and I'll see your opinion. I think you're looking at Colorado, Minnesota, Calgary, and Edmonton. I didn't really pull any upsets there, did I? That's all. No. All the favorites are winning. I don't know if there's going to be an upset, and it's not much of one, but just technically, St. Louis could beat Minnesota. That might be the only, in terms of seeding, only upset.
Okay.
In terms of my look at it. What about you, Tom?
I think that series is a flip a coin, Minnesota, St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be exciting. I can't wait for it to start. It could be one of those. It could be a 4-0 sweep and every goal is a one goal game, you know. So we'll see how that one's going to go. But I think my prospect for an upset there is Dallas. I think Dallas has a chance to come in. And if they jump on Calgary quickly, they can kind of punch him in the mouth, knock him back. They could be on their way to an upset. I think Calgary should win. But that's my pick. I think that could be the difference maker there. But I do expect it's going to be Calgary, Edmonton. I will probably say Minnesota, but again, a coin toss over St. Louis and, of course, the Avs over the Preds. Sure. So, All right, that's a quick look at the West. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, Mike and I will take a quick 30-second break. We will be right back on the other side of this with the Eastern Conference. I've got some news and notes and a couple of nuggets for you, so don't go away. We'll be right back after this with more Talking Puck TV. You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now back to the show. All right, we're back here on Talking Puck TV. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes here with you. And as we take a look at what's going on in and around the NHL here heading into the playoffs, we did talk a little bit earlier about Vegas and the Western Conference. We previewed the Western Conference series, so if you missed that, what I'm going to do is put these out as a podcast. By the way, if you like the show, you'll probably like the podcast. Check out the Talking Puck podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And Mike and I will have plenty to talk about as we go through the playoffs here and all the way, Mike, to the Stanley Cup final, the draft. Another key date, May 10th. Is when we do our ping pong ball party, which is being done remotely this year, so nobody knows where the frozen ping pong ball is for the first overall pick.
Tip of the Rangers.
That's right. Yeah, the Rangers frozen
tip
ping pong
Rangers.
Ball. My goodness. The old frozen envelope in the NBA. But the Canadians have the best odds to win the top overall pick this year. No real surprise there. Man, Montreal, just to talk about disappointing in the East. Was Montreal disappointing, or did we see this coming?
It's disappointing when you go to the Stanley Cup Finals and then become the worst team in the NHL. That's disappointing. It just is. You know what's almost as disappointing? If you're Arizona and you are trying your best to be bad and you don't accomplish that even, I mean, come on. I mean, really though. I mean, think of it. They wanted to be the worst team in the NHL.
They did,
and they couldn't even do that.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
That's a rough one.
I know. It's just a franchise that continues to trip over themselves, isn't it?
Yeah. We may have more to talk about with Arizona. We may not, but of course, the era is over in Glendale. They'll now be moving into the snug building. where Arizona State plays its Division I home games. It's cozy, yeah, absolutely cozy. That'll be interesting. Dan says Montreal only went to the final because they played Canadian teams last year and East teams in the playoffs. Remember, no, they did have to get through Vegas, although Vegas, of course, went through one of its notorious scoring droughts and decided they forgot how to play hockey again in the playoffs. Yeah. They still had to win those, though. They did. Exactly. You got to play the games, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, they don't just fast forward you into the playoffs. I don't know. Yep.
Well, I mean, you think this year, you know, I will say, I don't like to use the words I'm wrong. I'm just not right yet.
Nice.
Martin Saint-Louis. I really didn't think that was going to work. And good for him. I'm glad it is. Great guy. I just wondered, you took a guy that really had no coaching experience at all, and you just hand him the job. You think, how's that? All these poor guys who toil in the minors for years and years hoping for a chance, and then he gets an opportunity. But it looks like he's coming back, though, doesn't it? Yeah. Although they did make a change in Detroit. Was that today, this morning? Did I read that?
Yes. Right. And that was actually something I was going to have at the end when we come to news, notes, and nuggets. But yes, Blashill is out, as Dan points out.
Right.
So Blashill, the head coach in Detroit, then also assistant coach Doug Huda, and their goaltending coach, whose name escapes me right now. But those are the changes right now they're making in Detroit. Mm-hmm. So they will be picking a different direction. Steve Yzerman's going to have some options in front of them. But Detroit, I mean, for everything they weren't this year, still managed to win some hockey games, still stayed in the lower part of the middle pack for most of the season. Nobody expected them to make a charge of the playoffs, and certainly they didn't, but maybe a little ahead of the schedule in their development, and now a different coach might bring in a different message.
Not that unexpected. I mean, wasn't Yzerman's guy. He wasn't Yzerman's hire. So that's always, unless you really succeed, your days are numbered. You know, at that point, so not a big surprise that happened, but good anyway. Good for St. Louis. I hope that's a huge success in Montreal. I was a little hesitant to jump in and say, okay, this is going to be great. When I remember we had the show and we talked about it, but you know what? Good for him. They've got a lot of work to do. They changed that whole front office. So they're going to remake that Montreal Canadiens, and it's only good for hockey if the Montreal Canadiens are a contending team. While if you may not like them, it just, they are a brand name. They are well loved, well respected, and the Montreal Canadiens, love them or hate them, they are hockey. And the more successful they are, I think the better it is for the league.
Yes. I agree. All right, let's get into the Eastern Conference playoff matchups here, Mike. There's a lot of news with almost every series. So as we talk about Panthers Capitals, here are two big notes coming into Panthers Capitals. Aaron Ekblad is likely to return for the series. That is massive for the Florida Panthers. He practiced today, is likely to be back in game 1 against Washington. And for Washington, Alex Ovechkin has now been called likely to play in game 1 for the Capitals as well. So let's face it, the Capitals have a tough job in front of them to defeat the Florida Panthers, but do the Capitals have enough in the tank? And of course, we could talk goaltending, because who do the Capitals even start in net? This is an intriguing series.
It's intriguing for several reasons, I think. Florida ended up with the President's Trophy. They ended up with the best record in the NHL this year, even though they had a coaching change early on this season. And do you know the last time they got into the second round is, Tom? You know how long it's been since they made it past the first round?
Okay, my guess is going to be it's all the way back since they made the Stanley Cup Final in 96.
Yes, 1996 was the last time that nice Tom, you know your hockey. Damn. You ought to get a show. You ought to start a podcast.
Or at least a podcast, yeah. Get six people to listen.
Can you believe that? Isn't that unbelievable how long a stretch that has been for them?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Anyway, so But hey, they have the best record in the NHL. And to me, the Eastern Conference is tougher than the Western Conference. So that really says something to me.
Yeah.
Can Bob do it in the playoffs? That's a huge question. The other part is, for me, Florida. They had the propensity to fall behind in games and then come roaring back. I don't know if you can do that in the playoffs, you know, enough to win series. You can't just count on the fact that you're going to score all these goals. I think in the playoffs, it becomes tougher to score. So they've got to maintain leads rather than always just roaring back in the playoffs. Can they do that? Is Bob the guy in net? And again, same thing as Calgary. You've got a lot of players who had a great regular season and not a ton of playoff experience. Can they learn on the fly fast enough? Because they're going to face Tampa Bay in the second round.
Yeah. Yeah. And as Dan says, they led the NHL with 29 comebacks. The Panthers did this year. The Rangers had 27. I like that, Mike, because when you go into the playoffs now, you at least know that you can come from behind and win. And that is an important thing to have confidence in your team. That is so important to know you can come from behind and win. But you just can't always decide to get behind. You can't start the game 10 minutes late. Right, right. You just can't. Hey, guys, it's the second period. We should pick it up. Because Washington is a team that, look, they have some guys who have a ring on that team. They've won a cup. Is that whole cast there? No, but there's a core there. And Washington is a different animal in the playoffs. And I think that this is really why, if Florida could stumble a little in the first round against an experienced veteran team like Washington, that might be a little bit more about the business of getting things done. I'm really interested to see how that's going to pan itself out. But this has potential to be one of the better matchups in the East, I think. I think Bobrovsky will be okay. And if he isn't, I'm okay with Knight behind him, because I think Florida plays well enough as a team. I don't mind if they make a goaltending switch. But for the Capitals, they tried to push Vitek Vanacek so hard down the stretch to be the guy, and he just wouldn't take it. They tried, Mike. They're like, here, man, it's yours. He's like, okay. No, whoops. I guess not. Whoops. And so, you know, it's like, is it him? Is it Ilya Samsonov, who was supposed to be the guy this year, and he couldn't handle it either?
Right.
So Washington, they don't have a 1A, 1B. They have a 2A, 2B. You know, it's who's going to be the at least elevate themselves to a one-ish standing. But Washington does not know who their guy really is yet, and may not know for a couple games in the series.
Yeah, no, that part. And look, Ovi's got, I mean, he had another 50-goal season. You said he's coming back from an injury. Can the Capitals ride Ovechkin to a first round? If he has to be good and scoring in order for Washington to have a chance. Can he do it again? Can he score on can he outscore Florida, who's the highest scoring team in the NHL? So you're asking a lot for Ovi, who's got some miles on him, but man, another 50-goal season for him.
I know.
Just great. Just love it. I love goal scorers, and that's it's awesome. It's great. But if you get into any kind of fire wagon hockey with Florida, you're in trouble, you know, because they'll outscore you. So you better get some good, you better have some good goaltending. You said they better make the right decision in terms of their goaltender for Washington, because Florida can pour it on when they want to. They can score. They can just flat out score.
So for the X factor for me in this series, I'm going to say for the Capitals, it is going to be goaltending. And for Florida, believe it or not, I'm going to go special teams for two reasons. Number one, because Florida's power play has a lot of danger on it and has the ability to win them games and indeed a series if they're able to capitalize. But, Mike, the penalty killing onus is high on the Panthers, because Washington gets itself back into games with that power play, and especially with Ovechkin loaded up over there. The penalty killing of the Florida Panthers is going to have to be the best it's been all season long in this series. And so special teams for me for Florida.
My X factor will be Andrew Brunette. Rookie coach, has never coached a playoff game before. And how will he do coaching in the playoffs?
That's a pretty darn good one to have. And, you know, he had a great mentor, mm-hmm. and he's had a long NHL career of his own. But you're right. Once you're in it for the first time as a coach, it's just different. Everything is different.
It just feels everything is different. I know we say, and people probably go, really? It's just hockey. It's another hockey game. It's not. It just feels different. Game, not just the environment, because that's different now. The way that, you know, some teams have you staying in a hotel, even at home, the way you're sheltered from the family, and every game it is treated as if you're going, you know, as if, you know, you're going off on some secret mission, and just the focus of it just feels different. And then the games themselves are different. It's so tight, and the hitting picks up, and just nobody wants to make a mistake. You lose a little creativity at times and imagination, especially in the beginning of the playoffs, because everybody is just, nobody wants to make a mistake. And it's a whole different look to a game. You have to coach it differently. So that to me is why it's an X factor. How will Andrew Brunette coach once? And he obviously did a phenomenal job this year.
Yeah.
But it's now the playoffs.
It is. All right, Mike, I'm gonna go ahead and go to the other series in that division, Toronto and Tampa. I want you to convince me that Toronto has a chance in this series. That's your job. You are the lawyer for the Toronto Maple Leafs. All right. Convince me.
Here's what I would say. First of all, I'm a big believer in sometimes you just do. It has been, I think, what, 6 consecutive years that Toronto's been knocked out in the first round, right? I think I have that right. 6 years in a row. They're due. My other thing is, at some point, Tampa Bay has to run out of gas. They 2 runs to the cup, tough. And in those COVID conditions, I just think maybe you can catch Tampa Bay, because they had to hustle at the end. This wasn't a team that had a lock on first place and cruised in. They had to make sure they didn't fall into the wild card spot. So they had to hustle at the end. And I just, if I'm Toronto and I'm just going, they've got to run out of gas at some point. Let's hope it's against us.
Yeah. And, you know, Jack Campbell has to play out of his mind. Toronto wanted him to be the guy. He's got to be the guy. You know, not that Toronto can't score, but they are going against Andrei Vasilevsky. They're going against a very good D-Corps. But again, as you say, when does Tampa Bay run out of gas? But for Toronto to win, some things are going to have to break right. I just look at Tampa Bay, and I still look at that roster, and I still think they're so good.
Oh,
and they've managed to find a way to at least kind of skip past cap jail once again. I don't know. I can't convince myself. But all right, X factor in the series here. I'm actually going to say for the Lightning, I'm going to go a little off the, well, not too far off the beaten path, but I think Victor Hedman is the biggest reason why Tampa Bay will not show any warts in the first round, because Hedman's so good on both ends of the ice. I think we almost tend to forget about him because we do focus so much on what's up front for Tampa Bay, but they are really going to need him to be not only sharp, but a leader, a real leader in this case. Mm-hmm. And for Toronto, if Austin Matthews goes off, he's going to pull the rest of the team right along with him. 60 goals this year, Rocket Richard winner. If Matthews shows up in game 1, nets a pair, we have a series. If Matthews is on, we have a series.
Right. The like I said, not only running out of gas, but with the injuries that are going around with the goaltending, Vasilevsky has stayed remarkably healthy.
He really has, especially for as much as he plays, right, Mike? He plays a lot.
Yes. I mean, he's the best goalie in the league.
Sure.
He is the best.
Sure.
But boy, you just think, again, he's due. He's due for an injury at some point, you think.
Or at least a bad series, you know?
They're due.
Yeah. That's Mike's X factor. They're due. Hey,
you got to be due at some point.
Right.
but you know, and the thing with him is, right now in the NHL, there's no better goaltender when the series is on the line, is there? There's nobody. I mean, not only do you see it with your eyes, but the stats play it out too. He's the best. He's the best. Game seven, best. When you got to close out a series, he's the best of the NHL. But at some point, you can't do it forever. You know, at some point, you run out of gas, or you get hurt, or something happens. It just has to. It's just the nature of the game. And when is that going to happen? Maybe it's not even this year. Maybe they make a run, they go and they win their third consecutive.
Yeah.
But some point is going to happen. It just does. It does to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're Toronto, you just hope it's in this first round.
Yes. And I will say this, I have an injury note on Toronto. Michael Bunting, at least as of what I saw earlier today, probably not for game one. They're not really sure about game two with Bunting. And Bunting led all rookies in scoring this year, so that would be a big miss for them. And as we've talked about, I mean, Bunting is the guy who's out there. If he's running his yap, you know he's in the game. And he likes to get in other guys' faces. Right. And that's the kind of player that can take a Kucherov, a Stamkos, whoever, Braden Point, off his game if they get too concerned with what. Now, yeah. And Tampa's probably too experienced for that, but it happens. You can get under guys' skin. And we've seen him. We'll move on to this Boston series here in a minute. You want to talk about a pest. Yeah. They've got a couple of them, but also we have seen
maybe the best. Yep.
We've seen times, though, Mike, where they kind of lose their head a little bit. And so that, to me, I look at Carolina versus Boston. And one of the notes for this series for me, this is a big one, is that Anderson's not playing game one. Freddie Anderson is out.
Oh,
will be Ronta. We don't know if he'll be back for game two or not. Now, I still think Carolina is good enough to win with Antti Raanta, at least for a round. But if Anderson is going to be out an extended period of time, man, that's a tough one.
They're true. Yeah, no, they can't lose him. He had it. What a year he had. That was amazing. Great year. That's a really, really good team.
Yeah.
They held on to first place too. I mean, they got pushed. They got pushed at the end. To finish first, and they did it. So to credit to them, that's a solid team. It's not a team that go to Des Moines, Iowa, and go give me five Carolina Hurricane players. You're not going to know. Not a single person is going to know, but they win. Then that's the bottom line.
Right.
They maybe don't have well-known superstars, but it's a great team. It's just a really, really good team. Boston, it's got a lot of pride. They're going to win a couple of games in that series, I think. And maybe take advantage of that first game too, if it's not Anderson. I think they win a couple of games, but Carolina's going to come out of that. In the end, they just have too much.
Do you think Boston against a Carolina team, and again, this is the Rob Brind'Amour factor. Those Hurricanes have all talked about how they'll go through a wall for Rob Brind'Amour. But if Boston comes out and gets really physical with the Hurricanes, will that be enough to throw Carolina off its game? Or do you think that they're just so galvanized into the I'll just call it the Rob Brind'Amour way, that it doesn't matter what Boston throws at them? Because, again, you're going to have Marchand out there picking at you, Bergeron picking at you, trying to get under your skin. Mm-hmm. You got to worry about Pastrnak, a great scoring from anywhere. and Craig Smith has played better for them. Dan mentioned DeBrusk in the comments. Jake DeBrusk has come around this year. They do have the ability to pull it together. I just don't know if they can do it over a seven-game series.
No, they're not going to win the series unless Anderson is out the whole series and Ronta doesn't play well. But Carolina just has too much. I mean, I can certainly see Boston winning a game or two in the series, but it'll be hard fought. And Carolina will they'll have to be sharp. But ultimately, they are a more talented team top to bottom than Boston is. And they'll wear them down before the end of the series and win it and move on.
All right. That brings us to Rangers Penguins. Couple of notes for this series is number one, Artemi Panarin will play game one. So he will be back for game one. And Tristan Jarry is out at least for the early part of the series. Yeah. No game one for sure. Probably no game two. That does not bode well for the Penguins. But, Mike, the Penguins have to be the most resilient team in the National Hockey League over the last couple of years, because every time you and I try to pronounce them dead, all of a sudden the pulse comes back, and not only do they come back to life, but really playing well and just have the ability to win a series. And plus, you know, if Sidney Crosby can find his game, if Jake Gensel can score goals, if they can stay healthy in a 7-game series, that's another one. Mm-hmm. I think the Rangers are a better, deeper team, and I want to pick the Rangers, but man, the Penguins just have that something that manages to find a way to do something in the playoffs.
Is this your upset in the East?
I don't even know. Could you call that an upset? And I'll tell you what, my upset in the East is actually, I'm going to go ahead and say it's going to be the Capitals if there's an upset over the Panthers. That would be my big upset.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I almost knocked Mike out of his chair with that one.
I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. But, wow. The President's Trophy winner loses the first round.
The curse of the President's Trophy, right? Right? I mean, we've seen it.
Oh, no, it certainly has happened, but boy, that's okay.
Mike does not believe me.
No, not a chance. but you got to pick a big upset. That's the fun of it. You got to have a big upset. Out of the series, have we covered all? We've covered them all, right?
Series? Do you want to give me your thoughts on Penguins Rangers, or are you pretty much done?
The window's closed on Pittsburgh. It's the Rangers are going.
Oh, here we go again. Yeah, we're trying to shut the window on Pittsburgh, and that never works for us.
The window's not only closed; they boarded it up. They've painted over the boards, and people have moved out of the house.
Well, that's because they're just preparing for the hurricanes in round two, Mike. That's because they're preparing for the hurricanes in round two. All right, there you go.
All right, Tom. That's pretty quick. I gave you that one. That was funny. That was really funny. Yep. All right, I want to know if you had all, let's say your TVs were lined up. You had 8 TVs, each series. Okay. Was being broadcasted. Which one would you watch? You could only watch one out of all the first round. If game, let's say they're all starting game one of the first round, all at the same time. You can only watch one game. Which one are you watching?
I do not like this question.
That's a great question.
I do not like it because I have to pick. Yes. If I'm gonna, Minnesota, St. Louis.
That's my
must-see series.
Yeah. Although I am intrigued, I don't know whether I just get sucked in like a lot of hockey people into Toronto news. I kind of want to watch the Toronto-Tampa Bay series.
Oh, sure. Too. Sure.
In the East, that's the one that I'm just kind of going, that's an interesting one. I think I want to watch that. And then I'm with you in the West. Minnesota-St. Louis will be the most fun series to watch.
Let me just say, Mike, I really am intrigued by Edmonton, Los Angeles. Don't sleep on this series. Do not sleep on Edmonton, LA, because this is a test for Edmonton, who have been so awful. And by the way, Red Barchetta says watching Toronto lose never gets old. But LA,
true Buffalo fan there.
LA really shouldn't be there in a lot of ways to our thinking, but they are, and they've been good all season long. We kept waiting for the wheels to fall off like Anaheim, and it never happened. But now Edmonton has this new philosophy. They're playing defense. This is the first real test they're going to have, but they have zero playoff success. While the Kings still have Kopitar, who's going to be out there playing, Dustin Brown, Jonathan Quick. They have some guys who still have a Stanley Cup ring. Different team, and that was a long time ago, but it still counts for something. So don't sleep on that series.
It would not be among my favorite to watch at the beginning, but it's one of those ones you want to take a peek at and go, how's Edmonton doing? I'm more intrigued by can McDavid and Draisaitl get into the second round. It's more of that to me. I'm interested to see how they indeed turned it around in Edmonton, because we've almost written them off earlier in the year as they made that coaching change. We're like, I remember you and I talking, going, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year. Yeah. I've pretty much written Edmonton off. So credit to the coaching change. They're playing much better that suddenly is a team that could be interesting. And I think I'm rooting as well for a Calgary-Edmonton second round, too.
Absolutely.
I just think that would be fun to watch. Absolutely. And it'd be fun to be up there. It'd be fun to be in either of those two cities and watch that. That would be fascinating to me. But I think for me in the first round, the West will be Minnesota, St. Louis. I'm going to be tuning into that one the most. That Tampa Bay Toronto one just intrigues me. I just want to see if Tampa Bay, if they just flip that switch and they just get going again in the playoffs, or boy, that Toronto Maple Leafs, you just think, they just can't get past that first round. Is this the year that it happens? Are they mad about their matchup? You know, would they rather have a different one? I don't know. I'm because the other ones, I just the favorites in the East to me are the favorites. And the only I know you picked that Washington, Florida upset, but realistically, it just doesn't look like on paper anything you're going, ooh, that's a that has all the makings
right
of a upset. You know what I mean? The way that they match up against each other, that I don't know. I don't really see that in any series this year.
Well, and it's interesting because Dan called for, and Mike, you know this series very well, a 1996 Stanley Cup Final rematch. Florida, Colorado. Mm. He's saying that's his pick. He wants to see it. Wouldn't that be crazy?
The thing that's it would be super crazy, but it's very tough. It's so rare when you get the best team from one conference and the best team from the other conference making it all the way through. There just seems like there's an upset. Of course, you have them. Of course, you have Florida losing the first round.
So right. So
I just want that underline. I just want that on the record that Tom has picked Florida to lose in the first round.
I didn't say I picked that. I said that was my biggest potential upset. But honestly, like looking at
it would be the biggest upset
in the East. Really, the only series that I feel like could not go according to chalk might be Rangers Penguins. But I really do expect Carolina to win. I do. Well, actually, no. Tampa Bay is actually the 3 seed against Toronto. I feel like Tampa's going to beat Toronto in that one as well. So
I do too.
Yeah. Wouldn't you love to see Tampa, Florida?
I don't think they're out of gas yet.
Tampa, woo! Florida to get out of that division?
That's a barn burner. That might be the series where either Tampa Bay is out of gas or they just, they're veteran. Playoff experience is just enough to get them past that.
Sure.
That to me, if you look at all the potential matchups, that to me is the best. That's the Stanley Cup Finals, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of watching Florida against Tampa Bay. That's the best possible playoff series I could watch this year in the NHL.
Wow, although I don't think that's putting it out there too far. I think Battle of Alberta would certainly be more emotional if we get that in the second round. But I think as far as like some of the best hockey you're going to see, Florida, Tampa in a 7-game series, that one would be crazy.
Yep.
So, all right.
Two teams. I love offense. And you want to watch two teams that want to skate. What a fun series that'd be.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So to wrap this up here, we've gone over kind of all the matchups in the first round. We've talked about our upsets. I do want to mention, so a couple of the NHL, all the NHL postseason awards are based on the regular season. So we already know a couple of winners, such as McDavid wins the Art Ross. And then you have Austin Matthews, a second straight Rocket Richard trophy. Then also the William and Jennings trophy, which goes to the team with the lowest goals against average over the year, went to the Carolina Hurricanes. So congratulations to Ronta and Anderson for winning that as well. So you know what, Mike? I think we look at this. Connor McDavid back on top of the scoring. Isn't it funny? And Dan talking about Yossi for Norris. I think Roman Yossi got a great shot at the Norris, but that's a future episode. But McDavid versus Matthews. This is the meta now in the NHL. When we talk about, you know, McKinnon's kind of fallen onto that discussion, hasn't he? I really think it is just Matthews, McDavid. Who's better?
Yeah. They're in a different level. They're the two best players in the NHL and two different kinds of players, really, in a sense, you know, and you can make the argument See, I also like the factor of who do you want to watch more? And if you're the general manager, which player would you take first? Those are two different arguments, aren't they? Because I'd rather watch McDavid play, but I might want Matthews if I'm starting a new team more than I wouldn't want McDavid in terms of just scoring, that kind of a guy. And you look at his numbers, but if you're a fan, I still think McDavid has got a little more star power than Matthews has.
He does, but he doesn't quite have that public persona. Like,
he doesn't have that.
No. And that, I think that hurts his him overall, as far as his image and his how people conceive of Connor McDavid.
We know nothing about him.
No,
nothing.
We really don't.
You know, it's nothing. But just watching, he's the most dynamic player still in the NHL. You just can't take your eyes off him. And I want to give a little plug to Johnny Gaudreau. I think he has passed Patrick Kane as that water bug, that most exciting water bug type of player, that he seems like he can skate left or right as well as forward or backwards. You know, he's just so fun to watch. I think he is past Kane. I think he's now the most dynamic, smaller, niftiest player in the National Hockey League now. What a year he had. What a year Johnny Gaudreau had.
He really did. Calgary's got some interesting decisions coming in the offseason. So.
And I know we got people in Buffalo and on that border. And hey, let me raise my American flag here. I just named three guys. We got McDavid, Matthews, and Gaudreau. Two out of those three are Americans.
That's nice. And Team USA, by the way, just lost in the gold medal game to Sweden in the U18s. Mm-hmm. But hey, America ends up with silver there in the tournament. That's a pretty nice finish as well. Good to see there.
Good for them.
Real quick, so Ron wants to know who's winning the Calder Trophy this year. Again, we'll get into all this stuff later on, and I really haven't looked at the rookie numbers all that much, to be honest with you. I think Bunting made a good case for himself by leading all rookies in points, but I kind of still like Morris Seider. But Mike hates Detroit, and I know he's not going to vote for Morris Seider.
I can't vote for that. No, doesn't get my vote.
That's fair. That's fair.
And that's, you know what, I know we're going to do a show on this at some point where we do awards. I'll do a little heavier research, and I'll be fair. I'll do some more. I need to do some more research more on the Calder for sure.
You look at just real quick, the rookies in scoring, your top five was Bunting, Trevor Zegras, Lucas Raymond, Moritz Seider, and Anton Lundell. And then Caulfield came out at the end of the year. You talk about the Marty St. Louis effect. No, but since St. Louis took over at the end of the year, nobody was more productive rookies. No rookie was more productive than Cole Caulfield. Maybe that is an effect that carries over to next year for Montreal. We'll see.
I hope so for him. Yeah, that's great.
So, all right, Mike, we got the first round of the playoffs coming up here. Anything that you want to drop on us, any crazy thing? I'll tell you what. Give us one thing to watch, any series that you think is going to be probably the biggest emerging storyline that we haven't talked about. Any series.
It always is who's the hot goalie in the playoffs. Who's the goalie that just, you go, wow, I didn't see that coming. We had that in Dallas a couple of years ago. We just went, oh, come on. Was there anybody when the playoffs started that said, you know what, I think Khudobin will be the biggest story in the playoffs?
Right.
No one thought that. So it seems like every year there's a hot goaltender. You may not win the Stanley Cup, but there's a hot goaltender, and you and I love goaltending. There's some guy that you go, holy cow, is he on his game? So I'll be looking for that.
I think it's going to be, to me, who is this year's John Drews? Who is this year's Joel Ward? Who is the guy that comes from obscurity to score 8 goals in 10 playoff games and probably get a huge contract because of it? Mm-hmm. Who is that guy?
Right.
And on what team? And how are they going to lift that team? Because that's where upsets come from. When that third line guy goes off.
Yeah, that's true.
So, which team is he going to come from? You know, who knows? I'm really excited, but you know, there's always that one guy that just picks it up, goes off.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. Oh, it's great.
You know, that...
Right. Well, in your... Oh, I love that, too. Can I just throw one more out thought of? Is that... What trade line day deal or time around the trade deadline, I guess, which one works out the best?
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Does Giroux make a difference in Florida? Does Fleury just, you know, take Minnesota, you know, past a couple of rounds? I always like, you know, we put so much attention on the trade deadline. What player on that was part of a trade makes a difference in the playoffs? Was it worth it making that deal? And on the flip side, what was the biggest flop, you know, for those deals too?
I think Jack Eichel is the number one flop of the trade. That trade for Vegas. That's another episode. Yeah. Oh, are you kidding me? All of our there's more cheering from our Buffalo fan section. So. Right. That's great. Right. Absolutely. So that's a great place for us to wrap it. Mike, great episode this week. And we'll have plenty to talk about during the week as the playoffs get underway here. But, man, I'm looking forward to it. I am so excited. I cannot wait for the playoffs to start. It should be just an absolute blast.
Yeah, it feels maybe because it's May, it feels like it's been a long season already. Yeah. But I'm anxious for playoff games for sure. That's. Anybody who knows anything about sports and about hockey knows this is the best in sports right now in the NHL playoffs, and I'm excited to start watching it.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Thanks for being a part of it. Great chat tonight. We really appreciate everybody chipping in. We are going to release this show as a podcast if you missed it. But also don't forget, you can catch the show live in its entirety, the audio version, on stnradio.com starting at 7 o'clock Eastern tomorrow night. Every Monday night, we replay the show on stnradio.com. So check them out as well. But for Mike, I'm Tom. And you know what? For everybody, thank you again for being here and supporting us. Follow, subscribe, click the little bell. You'll get the notifications when we go live. And we look forward to a tremendous week of playoff hockey. We'll talk to you next time on Talking Puck.